question. Are you growing as a Christian? Are you growing as a Christian? That is a personal question. Are you growing as a Christian? And no, Pastor John, why aren't you growing? Why aren't you a Christian? When are you going to become a Christian? How long are you going to wait? Do you have a calendar marked at home? Well, I'm going to try to make $1 million and then I'm going to start growing. No. Before you grow, you got to be born. Are you born again? No, I'm not. Why aren't you born again? When are you going to be born again? Are you born again? Yes, I am. Are you growing? No, I'm not. What's the problem? There's a problem in your life if you are not growing. These are the marks of a growing saint. Peter told us what we're supposed to do. Why aren't you doing it? Are you seeking to prove what Christ's promise is? Christ said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Why don't you ask him to prove that in your life by allowing him to be the Lord in your life, to grow in your life, to grow in that particular area? Now let me ask you about that area. What area in your life have you locked it up and thrown away the key and refused to let Jesus find the key to open it up so that you can grow? And why aren't you growing in that particular area? I'm not talking about, Jackie, the victories that you've accomplished. I'm talking about the one that you haven't accomplished because you are not growing in that area. Why aren't you growing? What's the problem? Are you adding to your faith positive additions or negative transactions? This is very important. If you are a growing saint, everything that's added to you is positive and never negative. You ain't running nobody down. You aren't becoming the gossip sheet of the church. You don't like them because their hair is not done like you. You don't dislike him because he drives a better car than you do. You don't talk about this one because they didn't smile at you right. You've got to ask yourself this question: what's the matter with me? I want to grow quicker than them. Why? Are you selfish? Are you full of pride? No, Lord. I want to grow quicker than them because that's the rate that you want me to grow in. Quick rate. Are you looking at them? Are you saying, well, they're not growing? I've got to measure my life by them. No. I've got to ask you this question. Are you a growing Christian? Yes, I am. But what about them? Well, that's what happened in Peter's life. Here Jesus, right before he went back up to heaven, took Peter and said, come on over here, Peter, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Know what Peter did? He looked around Sister Rigsby and said, well, what about John? What about John? Jesus said, forget John, are you growing? You've got to know that this is a personal thing between you and God. Are you doing more than marking time? Now, you young men are at a great disadvantage because some of you don't know what marking time is. When I was in the army, we would be marching, and all of a sudden another troop would be coming in the opposite direction. Sergeant would say, company, mark time, march. And we would just stand there and move our knees up, but we weren't going anywhere. That's the way a lot of you are doing in the church. You're just marking time. You showing up on Sunday with your Bible. I know that song. I've sung it for 20 years. Yeah, but you ain't never been on the battlefield for the Lord. Gladys, we're marking time. You've got to ask yourself this kind of question. Am I a growing Christian? Am I doing more than marking time? Am I adding to my faith those kind of positive things? Am I seeking to prove Christ's promise to me? If you're not, you need to start growing. And remember, if you're not saved, you can't grow because you haven't been born. Now listen, ladies, they tell me, now you ladies that have had babies know this. They tell me that you can only carry the baby for 9 months. And then after that, something happens. Babyism comes out. As a matter of fact, we were talking about that the other night. The baby starts kicking and tearing and everything else. And when it wants to come, you've got to help it out. I mean, it's not going to help you. And in the very same sense, that's what growth pains are like. Did you know that when you're born again, there's going to be some growth pains? There's going to be some growth pains here. You don't just say, well, I'm born again. Everything is easy. It doesn't hurt. Hey, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something right now. It's a hurting thing when you go around all your buddies and you become saved and you don't do that no more. And then they say, hey, Jethro, we don't want you to go with us. Because, see, we're going to have some fun and you spoil the party. Well, then listen. Then you call me up. You say, Pastor, I'm feeling real down. All my friends forsake me. You know what I'm going to say? What you doing tonight? I said, let's go somewhere. We're going to have a lot of fun. I'm going to tell you, did you know that when Christians get together, we have more fun than the world does? Because, see, Christians are real people, and we just say, hey, let your hair down. Talk to me the way it is. John, I don't like the way you play volleyball. Good. Teach me, brother. See, there's no competition. There's no competition in the Christian life. But you get out there and play basketball with one of these brothers, and he elbows you real bad, right? Right? What you going to try to do? Retaliate. No. Two Christians playing one-on-one, and one elbows him. He says, oh, man, you elbowed me. The brother that elbowed him is going to stop and say, oh, man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I just got carried away in the game. Is it good? It's good. See what I mean? Christians have fun. Are you growing like that? If you're not growing like that, that's the kind of Christ you need to help you grow. Point two. I said this is quick. Point two, are you confident? Are you confident? No, man. I don't know what confidence is. I've been raised by a parent that did nothing but stepped on me all my life and told me that I'm good for nothing, I'll never be good for anything. You need to come to Jesus, because Jesus will give you more confidence than your mom and daddy never could. No, John, I don't have any confidence because a white man has just been on my back all of my... Well, you need to come to Christ. You need to come to Christ, and you find out that it's not the white man that's been on your back, but the devil that's been stepping on your neck all your life and trying to make you blame somebody else that God created. Because God created a white man and a black man and a brown man and a yellow man, and they're not the ones that's stepping on your neck. That's the devil doing that. You need to come to Jesus, and so that he'll give you a love for all of his creation. Amen. I am going to heaven with white men, black men, brown men, and yellow men. And the Bible says that we will all be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And Jesus is not a white man. He is the God man who saved my soul from sin. I'm asking you, Christian, are you confident today? There's not enough confidence in the Christian church. We've been stepped on and kicked and kept back and everything else, and all you need to do is come to Jesus, and he'll show you who God is, who you are, what your relationship is to him. But listen, before there can be some confidence, there has to first be some confession. You can't be confident unless you confess Christ. You just can't get on this bandwagon and say, you know, I think I'll join that church because all them people with the young pastor is thinking positive. I want a positive life. No. You've got to confess your sin. You've got to say, Lord, all have sinned and I'm a part of that great number. And I'm giving you all of my sins so that you can give me all of your confidence. You know, we as black people have a problem because, see, we don't have enough confidence in ourselves. And I'm telling you, you can do anything you want to do, and I pray it's right. I pray it's led by the Holy Spirit. You can do anything you want to do. You can be anything you want to be. You can have the confidence. And if you had Christ in your life to help you, he will guide you in every area of your personal endeavor. So I've got to ask you this question. Have you confessed Christ? Well, yes. Well, are you confident? Well, no. Do you admit that there's a problem? Well, I don't like to think about it. Anyhow, what I'm trying to do is to get you to think about this kind of confidence in a very personal way. Now, listen. Do you confidently use God's word? That's important. If you're not confident, that's because you don't confidently use his word. The word is what's going to help you to grow. Are you shutting that television off? Are you shutting that radio off? Have you put them soap operas down, ladies, at lunchtime, run into the coffee room? Are you in that coffee room brigade? Let's see what Sally's doing today. Sally's talking the same old trash she's been talking for 2 years. Have you noticed on the soap operas they never get beyond anything? Sally, what is it? She's doing this to me. Well, honey, let me tell you, that's the one Sally got to watch. Because next week she'll be the star and Sally will be. Cut that mess off. You're not confident in Christ because you're not reading the word. You're looking at somebody's soap. And so much soap can't do nothing but put suds all over your body. That's all it can do. Once you rinse that mess off, it'll leave a body ring on you if you're not sure about that. Are you confident? Do you weigh your growth experience by the word of God? Or do you weigh your growth experience by how well the pastor says you're doing? I think you're doing all right, young lady. You're doing all right. No. Don't you weigh by what I say. You've got to weigh your experience in what Christ is doing in your life. Do you witness this evidence within you that makes you sure? That's what confidence is all about, Michelle. You've got to know that you're confident. I'm confident in Christ. I know what he's doing in my life. That's a mark of a growing saint. Let's go to number three. Are you on guard? Now, if you're going to grow as a Christian, you've got to be on guard. You might say, John, I ain't on guard against what? Right, you need Christ. You need Christ. See, if you've answered no to most of these questions, you need Jesus right now. You need to say, Lord, on guard against what? Ain't nothing wrong in my life. Sometimes I have a few problems, but John, I got enough confidence that I'm going to make it in the end. I'm not talking about in the end of what? In the end of your particular trial or dilemma? Oh, you know what? A fella told me yesterday, he was putting up one of them super saucers in my neighbor's lawn. You know, one of them satellites? And he's just talking about this and talking about that. He'd been talking for 2 days. Lucy had to pull me away yesterday evening. I said, what's life all about? You know what he told me, church? He said, life is vanity, man. He said, I'm going to tell you what life is all about. Young white fella. He said, life is all about me making $1 million and buying whoever I want. He says, my life is having nice women all around me all the time. He says, just give me my women and all my money, and I can buy who and what I want. And he says, that's what it's all about. He says, in terms of justice, righteousness, morality, doesn't matter. He says, I know what built this country and what built other countries, and it's all greed and violence, and I just don't even, and he just used some foul language. And he says, that's what life is about. And I said, young man, you're a fatalist. He says, no, brother, I'm a realist. But you see, Lucy, when I was on the ladder, I looked real weird, Linda. I was on a 5-foot ladder looking over the fence in the neighbor's yard talking with him. And Lucy just, come on, it's time to go, yeah, trying to get me off. But what I was trying to get the young man to see that there is something beyond this physical. You see, this physical life that we're living in is preparatory for eternal. And so if my life down here is nothing but a whole bunch of pretty women, or if you women, handsome men all around, or if you gay, handsome, whatever. If my life is based upon all of that and money and everything else, well, when I leave, what is beyond this life? What's beyond this? Well, John, you don't know that. Yes, you do. Some of you come back to church tonight. Guess what the message is going to be about tonight? Creation versus evolution. We're going to talk tonight about how you can know you were created by God, and evolution as taught in schools is a joke. Come on back tonight, just 30 minutes. Creation versus evolution. You can know. You can know it. I read this man's book and it blew my mind. I said, I've got to share this with the folks at Olivet. Are you on guard? On guard meaning like a soldier on guard duty. Christian, you've got to be on guard duty. Now listen. That can't happen unless you're part of the guard. You're not going to be on guard duty unless you're part of the guard. When I was in the Army, I'll never forget, going through basic training, I thought it was all over. We were getting ready to go over wherever. They were getting ready to send me to Vietnam. I thank God for Korea. What a lovely country. That's where they sent me. But anyhow, we were getting ready to go, and the guy came and said, Coleman, you have guard duty tonight. Now, Queen, I've never done guard duty. And I said, what is guard duty? He said, well, you will guard the compound where they keep the cars and the jeeps. I said, guard the compound? What I had to do from 12 midnight to 3:30 in the morning was just walk around in circles and guard the cars. Now, nobody would steal cars, I didn't think. I thought that that was a silly thing that they had me doing. But remember, I was a soldier. I was in an armed force. I had a gun with no bullets in it because we're on a military compound in the U.S. I guess I was supposed to hit them with the butt end of the gun. Really, in essence, Linda, I was thinking about getting, which I did. I got in that truck and went to sleep. On guard duty, some soldier I was. I was a no-good bum when I was in the Army. But weren't we all brothers? Brother Frost ain't saying anything here today. All right. We won't ask for that. Amen. Well, he said he was a sailor. He wasn't a soldier. That's different. All right. You've got to be on guard. You're not going to be on guard in your Christian life unless you join the force. You cannot guard against evil and sin in your life unless you get in the force. Now, I'm not talking about what I saw in Star Wars when Skywalker said, when Obi Kenobi 1 said, the force is with you. I'm not talking about that kind of force. I'm talking about you've got to join the Christian band. These crazy people called Christians that says, I want to be on guard against sin in my life. Are you on guard against false teachings? Now, you see, you're in this church this morning, and I like to think that I'm preaching the gospel. You go to another church and they tell you all you've got to do, I've seen them do it, is everybody lifts up your left foot. Now, stump it. Stump the devil. And you squeezing and every stump him again. And you, bam, and you dumping the devil. And you got him under your feet. Right now, you keep that dog down there. Bam! And you just looking at it. Wait a minute. You got to be on guard against that, because don't you know you cannot stump the devil? The devil rules men's hearts. The devil ain't going to be no fool and put himself under your feet. He's not going to do that. He's going to try to get in your heart and mess up your mind. He's going to try to get in your mind and say, man, forget that preacher. There ain't no heaven. There ain't no hell. Whoever came back and told you? Well, you tell that demon when he tells you that, prove to me that there's not. Why are you talking to me like this if it's not? Why do you want me to go where you going? Why are you trying to keep me from Jesus if there is no hell? If there ain't no hell, why don't you leave me alone? If there ain't no hell, why isn't my life right? If there ain't no hell, why do I feel like I'm going through hell now? I said, whoever you are talking with me, you must be from the pit of hell. Amen. Amen. You've got to ask yourself questions just like that. Are you on guard? It tells me in 2 Timothy 2:15 to study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Once you're on guard against false doctrine, you never let anybody to get you raise your foot and try to step on the devil. What you might find yourself doing is stepping on their face, because the devil is in them to try to get you to think that he's under your feet. He is not under your feet. Listen, are you on guard by avoiding these damning errors? Did you know that there are religions set up? I had lunch with a beautiful young Christian lady this week. And this beautiful young Christian lady told me that most of the people that work in her office go to the Mormon church. And she also mentioned something else about these people. She says that they're, was the term that she used? Perverts. Because they're just going on flirting with everybody. So what? What? They belong to that big, huge church in Utah? I mean, the big, you know, the Mormon Tabernacle. That seems beautiful. What? I want you to know that that church is not God's church. Because God does not have apostles in his church today. God didn't tell you that you become as gods. God didn't say that you can gradually become like the angels. No. You better study that doctrine. You've got to be on guard against damning errors. You've got to be on guard by remembering the truth. Engage your mind, Christian. You hear some newfangled doctrine tomorrow, engage your mind what you heard last week. Now, some of you and all of it, engage your mind what you heard 20 years ago here. Engage your mind. Think. When somebody comes up and says, hey, brother, are you saved? Yes, I am. Do you speak with tongues? Yes, I do. Do you? Yes. English. I learned Spanish when I was in high school. It's a very difficult language. And then, like your pastor, I'm going to have to learn two more, Greek and Hebrew. So when they ask me, do I speak with tongues? Yes, Greek and Hebrew and English. No. I don't mean that, brother. I mean, do you, wuchala bang bang, santo comes on the Honda. And I'll say, wait a minute, run that by me again? What language is that? Well, that's your spirit language, is it? Let's go to the Word and you show me that. Well, it says that Paul laid hands on them and they all spoke with tongues. It says, yes, what tongue? The Ephesian tongue. The tongue that the listeners can understand. Now, what tongue am I talking in? And what listener understands anything? And for what purpose would I do that? Well, that's your prayer language. Oh, show me that in Scripture. Prayer language? Why can't I pray in the language that God gave me? English. Lord, I'm a sinner. All defile. Take the stain of guilt away and own me as your child. I understand that. You understand that. God understands that. But if I got to do this, woo-chala bang bang, Santo comes on a Honda, and I don't even know what that means, nor can I translate it, do you think God does? Is God some kind of an idiot in heaven that is going to take something that you mumble up and translate it and then give it to some joker from down the street, and he's going to come in half drunk and say, oh, I know what God just said. No. That's insanity. I said that you have got to be on guard against that. You've got to be on guard by watching your behavior. Be on guard by watching your behavior. Oh, I'm saved. I can do anything I want. Can you? I didn't know that. I didn't know that because Jesus is the Son of God. Could he do anything he wants? The Bible tells me that as soon as he was baptized by John in the wilderness, that he went, in Jordan, that he went to the wilderness. And when he went to the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, he hadn't eaten. And he is indeed the Son of God. He could do anything he wanted to do. And here comes the devil. Man, the devil's always going to come, especially when you're hungry, when your appetite can get out of hand. See, Jesus hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. Here comes the devil, and in his mind he says, if you are who you say you are, turn these rocks into some whole cake and satisfy. You better stop listening to the devil when he comes to you. One, if you are a child of the king, you're supposed to have everything. A better job, a better home, a better clothes, more money. Is that right? No, that's not right. Because Jesus didn't turn the rocks into bread. Jesus says, no. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father. Amen. The devil wasn't finished. He came to him and says, well now, and then he took him again and he says, if you be the Son of God, in his mind he took him to the top of the temple. Jump down off of the pinnacle of the temple, because you know the Bible says he'll have his angels give charge over you and unless you dash your foot against a stone. The devil even quoted that in Psalms out of proportion. And Jesus says, No. You shouldn't tempt the Lord thy God. Then he lastly came into his mind and says, took him up to a high mountain in his mind and says, look, show Jesus all the kingdoms of the whole world, all the ages, and says, you bow down, you worship me, I'll give this to you. Now, the insanity of that whole thing was that Jesus created Lucifer. See, Jesus created the devil. The devil's nothing but an angel. And the Bible tells me he was the most beautiful of all of God's creation. And that's why Lucifer was kicked out of heaven from jump, because he tried to take dominion up there. And that wouldn't work. Bow down, and I'll give you this. Jesus made him. It's insanity. Now, back up, Christian. Jesus has come in your heart. And now the devil's going to come in your mind and tell you, do this, and I'll give you all that. And the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And you Christians aren't growing, and you bite the bullet and fall for the lie. And then I get a phone call. Oh, I'm in a world of hell and sin and trouble, Pastor. What can you do? I said, I can do anything that God gives me the power to do. But the question is, my friend, what are you going to do? You've got to stop listening to the devil. And Jesus told the devil after that last lie, get thee hence, Satan. Get behind me. And then the Bible tells me that angels came and ministered unto my Lord. Lastly, see if I can do this in 5 minutes. Are you hanging on? Are you hanging on? Now, that's what a mark of a growing saint is. You've got to cling for life. That's what you've got to do. That's what I'm admonishing you to do today. Now, listen. You are not going to be able to cling for life unless there's something out there tangible and worth you holding on to. I'm asking you, are you clinging on to God for your dear life? Says, John, it's not tangible enough yet. I hope that it does within 5 minutes, that it's real tangible. I want to talk to you this morning. I want you to understand that in spite of incomplete understanding, Jesus is real. But he will never become real to you until you say yes to God. You can't see him. You can't smell him. You cannot taste him, but you can experience him once you say yes to him. You've got to say yes. You have got to hang on for dear life. You've got to say, Lord, if I don't have you, nothing is going to take place in my life. And I'm asking you that. So in spite of you not understanding everything about the Bible, what you've got to do is you've got to hold fast to what Jesus wants you to do. Look what it says in Hebrews 11 and 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is something that you hope for. You don't see it? You see, I know that I'm going to heaven, but I've never seen my mansion. I've never seen the dwelling place that he's preparing. I got news for you, Steve. I've never seen Jesus. And if any believer in this room tells you that they've ever seen Jesus, they're lying. Now, I know what Oral Roberts said. He's lying. I know what that man said. That man's crazy. And I'm not afraid to say it. No one in the 20th century has ever seen Jesus. Jesus does not go around making himself present and then disappear. No, he doesn't do that. He allows you to see him through the Word of God and through being manifested in the lives of other believers. Amen. It tells me something else. In spite of how people scorn you or mock you, you can have Christ to cling on. Now, what does it tell me? It tells me in James 1 and 12, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. James 1 and 12. Blessed is the man that endureth testings. For when that man is tried, the Bible says, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The Bible says you're blessed when you try. I want to challenge you that become Christians, do not allow the devil to do a number on you. You're going to be tested, you're going to be tried, you're going to be pressed to the limit. The devil wants to break you. He'll never break you. Did he break Jesus? You see, the devil thought that he broke Jesus when he died on Calvary. The devil started to have a praise party when Jesus dropped his head and said, it is finished, and gave up the ghost. The devil said, I've done it. I have defeated the plan of God through the ages of the world. I am victorious. But something happened on a Sunday morning. Sunday morning, it tells me that the ladies was going to the tomb to try to anoint a dead body, but the stone had been rolled away. The soldiers had already went to report that something fantastic had happened. Jesus was alive. Now, so therefore, the devil failed. And Jesus says, as I have overcome, even so shall you. Don't you want to have victory in your life? You can have victory in your life. You can have something tangible to hold on to if you hold on to Jesus. In light of the past, you know, a lot of us are hung up on the past. Hung up on the past. John, you don't know what my past life is like. Well, I have some good news for you. Philippians 3:13b says this, but this one thing I do, Paul says. Paul says, this one thing that I do, of all the other things that I can do, I forget those things that are behind, and I reach forth for those things that are before. You've got to forget that mess. Yeah, but John, I did some time in jail. Well, I got some news for you. Pastor John did about 20 days in the stockade. Different kind of jail, but a bar is a bar. But John, you don't understand. I did drugs. Well, get this. Pastor John used to smoke marijuana and pills, and I didn't know nothing about cocaine when I was coming up. I think I would have been, no, I probably would have tried that too if the devil had been in my life. Well, Pastor John, I was an immoral person. You don't know all the beds I've lied in. Well, amen. Join in, crowd. I don't think there's too many of us here that can say that we were pure from the crib. No, 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 no. All of us have been in that boat too. Amen. Well, but John, you don't understand. I might have even killed somebody. Amen. Well, the Lord is able to forgive. Pastor John's never done that, but I've killed a lot of personalities. I sure have ruined somebody's character. I've scandalized their name. That's just as well as putting the knife in their heart. Amen, brother, sister, join the in crowd. Hey, listen, I don't know anybody that hasn't done anything. Brother, you ready to be saved? Lastly, I says, are you hanging on? You need to hang on because there's too much to gain and too much to lose. You need to hang on because there's too much to gain and too much to lose. Last scripture, last point, Matthew 16:26. One of the best scriptures in the Bible. For Jesus says, for what is it if it profits a man or a woman or a boy or a girl if you should gain the whole world? I mean, the whole world is your bank account. And lose your life. What is it if then in this life, everything you had would be, you could buy everything you wanted. Food, comfort, security, love, people, sex, anything. It's yours. All you have to do is just press a button, not write a check. You hire somebody to write the check for you. You don't even have to see the money. Just press the button. I want this now. And Jesus said, what if you have all of that, and lose your soul? And then he ends up and says, and what will a man give in exchange for his own soul? I don't know about you, but nothing. I'm not going to give my soul over to nobody that can destroy it. I want to give my soul over to the one that died for it on Calvary. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something very easy. I'm going to ask you to say yes to Jesus.